Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. We thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do. Oh, we bless your name today, Lord God. We thank you that you are God, you are Lord, you are King, you are Shepherd, and truly, there's no God like you, Jehovah. We're depending on you today, Lord God. We are thanking you today, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for what you've already done and what you're about to do. You are powerful, God, most powerful, God. You're not made of wood or stubble or tree. Oh, God, you are a spirit, and we worship you in spirit and in truth. Well, good afternoon. I thank God for each of you all coming on today. We're going to get started right away. I'm going to ask Sister Talana if she would pray for our speaker. His name is Roy Penn. He's on the line with us now. Hold on. I'm gonna unmute her line. Most of the lines I'm going to keep muted until towards question time. So, you know, I text you all we have. He's going to speak, and then he's going to allow for questions, and I'll unmute the phones then. So, Sister Talana, if you'll pray short prayer. We appreciate it for brother. His name is Roy Penn. He preferred to be called Roy.
Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you and honor you for an opportunity to share. Thank you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Thank you for protection, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that the words that will come out of Brother Ron's mouth, Lord God, will be the words that you would have him to speak unto us, Lord God, for edification, for knowledge, for wisdom, and understanding. We thank you for an opportunity of him sharing, Lord God. Bless him as he blesses us. Let the blessings run him down, overtake him, overshadow him and his family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And the word of God says in Genesis 1:29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, and you, to you it shall be for meat. So we thank God for Roy today. He's an herbalist, and his name is Roy Penn. He lives in Houston, but originally from the Virgin Islands. So he's going to speak to us, and you'll have a chance, as I said, to ask questions later on. So I'm going to keep the phones muted. All except his phone is going to be unmuted, but all phones will be on mute until he finished speaking. So I thank God. I introduce to you the herbalist, Roy Penn. Good afternoon, Roy. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine, and I'm very grateful, and I'm honored to be here and to be able to talk to the audience about some things that involve the health and what's really going on, and try to uplift and bring us to a healthier understanding of what's really taking place. There is much information to share, no shortage of any kind. And there's a lot that we need to talk about. So I'm going to talk today about some of what I feel is some of the most important aspects of what's going on that is related to many people out there suffering and have no idea what's really happening. They go to their doctors, and their doctors give them treatment but can't really get the problem solved. And so we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to see if we can't bring the listeners to a better understanding of what's going on and how what they can do to help themselves. There's, you know, we're certainly not limited. There's a lot that can be that we can do ourselves to help ourselves. I have put my faith and trust in Jehovah. And I had asked Jehovah to guide me, and when I did that, I found that the answers were really simple and easier than I thought. There were more of them available to me, and when I began to use them, of course, the blessings came. I was very, very thankful. I'm honored to be here. And thank you for this opportunity. Now, I'm going to begin by speaking towards a situation that is going on all over the world. I'm not just here in the United States, in the Caribbean, in Central and South America, in North America, and in other nations across the earth. When I first began to reach out to people in a more organized way, fibroids among women at that particular time stood at about 43 to 45%. And 3 years later, it was up around 80%. And that's been over 5 years ago. I'm sure it's much higher than that now. The reason why I choose that subject to begin with is because it affects so many people. It's not just the women, but when we understand what is the driving factor, what is really behind this, what is causing this, then we can begin to see how it affects not just women, men, children, and so forth and so on. And so that's a very vexing area because it affects so many people and so many lives in so many different ways. Now, usually when we go to the doctors, we're talking about the trained medical doctors, and we're suffering from any illness, most of the time they will either try to treat the symptoms, because usually the illness that we feel, the part of it that we feel or see, is usually the symptoms. We don't really see the cause, because the cause is caused by organisms that live alongside us, and they're so tiny that we can't see them. We would have to put them under a microscope and enlarge them many, many thousands of times bigger than they are in order to see them. And most of the time, if we don't know what we're looking at, we still wouldn't understand. But in the case of fibroids and yeast, we have a group of organism called Candida albicans. And Candida albicans, most women and most doctors know of it as Candida yeast. Most of them know it as yeast. Some of them don't even know it as Candida. But Candida is a family of organisms, not just one, but a whole bunch of them. Just like we have aunts and uncles, mothers, sisters and brothers, and all these type of things in our family, and each one of these members of our family is different. So does the family of Candida albicans. And so, normally, when scientists look at these things, they give them names. And sometimes you would think that they say, for example, human papillomavirus is not a member of this family, yet and still it is, but they give it a name. We have viruses, or quote-unquote viruses, that are also in the AIDS family, six of them, which is also a part of the Candida albicans family, and so forth and so on. So these organisms cause sickness. This is these are the underlying cause of pretty much all illness, with the exception of maybe if we get a cut or something like that, which is, an incision in the body. But Candida albicans is the causative factor in all diseases, and it usually begins in the stomach. And that brings us back to what we eat or don't eat. Now, I have a way that I define food, because I think food needs to be defined. Most of us, when we think about what we eat, we would think about something we would eat, maybe a hamburger and french fries, or something that we have on a plate and we spoon it up and put it in our mouth with a fork. but that's not all there is to food. The true definition of food is any and everything that enters into the body. Any and everything. It could be the sound of my voice. It could be something that I saw. All of this is food that goes into my body. And these organisms that lives with me also will have the last word on what their reactions are to what I'm doing, whether I'm eating, drinking, hearing, talking, or whatever, or something I'm seeing. You know, we say food for thought, and so forth and so on. We have in the communities across America a lot of illnesses right now. There's been an explosion of illnesses, and most of us are beginning to wonder why, and we're blaming it on the food, and the food is a trigger or a driving factor, but it's not the entire problem. So yes, what we eat and drink and how we think about things and how we look at things has a great effect on what's going on, but it is not the entire problem of what's going on. We have children that are being born now, and they're being born dying. Most of the time, we don't even think about it because, you know, if the child is born, he gets sick or something, or he's born sick, we rush him to the doctor, and hopefully the doctor can intervene and do something that will keep that child or that person from dying. In most cases, they are, but in some cases, they are not able to do that. And so we don't think about it the way I'm explaining it here, that people are born dying or children are born dying, yet still that is true. In the Bible, it tells us that the sins of the fathers, more than one fathers, mean the elders, is visited on our children. I think in Genesis 1 and 29, or I think either there or Ezekiel 6:3, it talks about, you know, how we should eat and conduct ourselves so that not only will it affect us, but it also affect our unborn child or children. So here we have a situation in which a woman is suffering from yeast in the form of a yeast infection, or she could be suffering from yeast in the form of a urine infection or a bladder infection, or even fibroids, because the doctors will tell us that, you know, they don't know what's causing fibroids. They don't know what's causing this. And so they try to remove the fibroids by removing the womb. If they do that, then, of course, that eliminates your ability to have a child. If they take the fibroids out of the womb and leave the womb intact, sometimes the fibroids return, because the underlying factor is still there. Even if you remove the womb, the yeast is still in the body. If you remove the fibroids, the yeast is still in the body, so the fibroids can return. So this yeast can be passed from one person to another during childbirth or during sexual intercourse and so forth and so on. So these are some of the factors that people need to know about. When we go to a doctor and the doctor tells us that an illness, say maybe diabetes, runs in your family, that is not true in one sense, but yet still is true in another. But what really happening here is that the yeast is transferred. It's usually transferred from mother to child. And so then the children begins to develop some of the same symptoms and some of the same things, illnesses, that the parents had, and so forth and so on. But the yeast can also recombine. What they do is the scientist tells us that these organisms mutate. That's the word that they use. I like to use recombination or recombine. I think it describes the problem more simple and more effective. And so when these organisms recombine or mutate, they become whole new organisms that in some cases we have never heard of, and in some cases we have. They usually get different names and so forth and so on. Here we have the pandemic with the COVID-19, and that's the name that they give it. They tell us it's new. It's new to them, but it's not new on the face of the earth. And so it's a recombination of germs that has already been here, and but just they have never seen this combination before. So this, to a large degree, describes how illnesses really go. And what we eat and drink has a great impact, because these organisms are living, and all living things breathe, sleep, and eat and give off waste material. And so these organisms do the same thing. And so what we eat, in a large sense, is also connected to what these organisms want. Sometimes we will go to the store and we'll buy starchy and sugary foods, and we'll eat them, say ice cream, and we'll eat them thinking that, well, I like this. This is what I like. I'm just going to have me some ice cream. And we don't realize that we're not eating it because we like it. We're eating it because the organism is forcing us to crave these things. And so we find it difficult to leave them where they are, because then the cravings come on, and usually we'll get up and go and buy these things and eat them. And the organisms get more organized, and the illnesses begin to take place. When we talk about candida or candida albicans, we're talking about life and death. They are responsible for, well, some of the people that talk about them and study them classify them as a rotting agent, a rotting agent. But they also help us to live. They help us to make beer or strong drinks, and so forth and so on. So we know that yeast is something that usually causes bread to rise, and so forth and so on. So yes, they have some very important role in our lives, but they can also destroy us. And so these are some of the things that we need to keep in mind. If you are suffering and you have any illness, no matter what it is, these organisms are involved in one way or another. What I have done since I discovered that this to be the case, I begin to focus on these organisms, because in a lot of cases, it makes a lot of sense to focus on this, because if you treat the symptom, which most doctors do and most people are concerned about, and so in some cases it makes a lot of sense to treat the symptoms, because sometimes the symptoms are so severe that the symptoms can kill us or make us terribly uncomfortable. But if we treat the symptom and we do nothing about the cause, the underlying cause, which is the yeast candida albicans, then the problem either comes back as it was, or it returns in another form. And so the sickness goes on. I've seen people with shopping bags full of medicine. I remember one guy came to me. He was severely overweight. His feet were swollen. He had just about everything you could think that was wrong with him. And he showed me three bags full of medications. And I could understand fully well why that was so. They were treating the symptoms, and they weren't doing anything about the underlying cause. And so the underlying cause kept creating more and more problems. When we deal with the underlying cause, then we see a lot of these things begin to fall away. It doesn't happen overnight, of course. I'm not saying that, I have a magic pill, you take it and everything is fine the next day. But when we begin to treat the underlying cause, then these things fall off. So these are some of the things that we need to keep in mind. These are things that if you go to your doctors, the doctors will probably tell you that man does not know what he's talking about, and he's probably crazy. But I can assure you I'm not. And I can assure you that in many cases, the doctors are the ones who don't know what they're talking about. And this is why so many people are getting sicker and sicker and sicker. We live here in this country, and this is said to be the most advanced country on the face of the earth, with the best healthcare system. That's something to think about. The most advanced country on earth with the best healthcare system. And in this country, so far with the pandemic, we have had over 400,000 deaths. 400,000 deaths. More than any other country on the earth. So I think it's time for us to take a look at things the way they are and not necessarily how they tell us it is. If you go and you take a look at some of the studies that they have done concerning medicine and the medical system, the healthcare system here, you will see that more and more of these studies are showing us that the medical system has been failing a lot of people. Here we have the flu, or we have a pandemic that they describe. It's really a type of flu, and they have no way to treat it. They don't know what it is. They've never seen it before. We have more than 60,000 people a year are dying in this country of the flu. The flu is not new. The flu has been around a long time. So why is it we don't have a way to deal with that, and we're the most advanced country on earth with the best healthcare system? Something is wrong. I would say to you, those of you who have access to the internet, you need not look any further than there was a study conducted, I think it was 2009, and the results of it were shocking. They called it death by medicine. Death by medicine. If you will Google death by medicine and look at what Gary Null and Carolyn Dean and those who did that study and conducted that study had to say about the medical system, medical healthcare system in the U.S., then you would see what's really going on as opposed to what they tell us is going on. And most of the time what they tell us is going on is quite different from what is really going on. So what I have been doing personally is I have been focusing on the underlying cause, the Candida albicans. I've been studying them, looking at them, and I've asked Jehovah to help me and to guide me. And boy, I tell you, he has really answered my prayers. And I, with his guidance, I've been able to put together some herbs. I have herbs that that can help us with many, many illnesses. I also help people to understand what to eat and what not to eat that are really making them sick. And some of these things will really surprise you. Most of us have no idea what we're eating, even when we go to the doctors and the doctors tell us, well, you know, eat more fruits and vegetables, eat this or eat that, or don't eat this or don't eat that. In most cases, it's wrong, and it only brings us temporary results, if anything, and sometimes it brings us no results at all. But with the help of Jehovah, I have put a booklet together that helps us to understand, and it's not very long. It's a short little booklet. I call it the food list. It's a short little booklet that tells us what is really going on and what's happening with the food and how to steer ourselves clear of the problems that we are confronted with. And it's a mess. The food is a mess. Myself, I was living here, and I was eating what I thought was all the proper things and doing all the proper things, and I find myself still getting sick. And I knew something had to be wrong, something that I was doing or not doing, and so I began to question it. And when I began to question it, of course, Jehovah's guidance, he guided me, and I was guided away from this. I'm doing a lot better now. I had some serious problems. As a child, I was born, I had arthritis. I was suffering from arthritis as a young child. When I went to the doctor, they said, well, there's no cure for arthritis. You know, I don't accept what they tell me as the gospel, and so I kept on looking. Well, in 1982 was the last time I suffered with arthritis. And they said there's no cure. So from 1982 until now, if that's not a cure, then I don't know what a cure is. And that's me personally. I have been able to put herbs together that help people with many, many things. Let me see if I have here some of them that I can maybe read off to the listeners, and it will help us to understand. Now, these herbs has no side effects. They have no adverse side effects. However, if you use something and it's going to correct what's going on in the body, then it's going to have to bring out some of the bad things that are going on. And so we have to understand that just because something bad comes out of you, that doesn't mean that the herb itself is not good. I have one of the most effective herbal protocol that I've been guided to put together. I call it the 9-day blood wash. The 9-day blood wash. When we go to the doctors, most of the time they draw blood and they begin to look at that blood to see if they can figure out what's going on. Most of the time what they're looking for is these microbes, these organisms that seen by the naked eye. And so I said to myself, well, if they're looking for illness in my blood, and there's illness in my blood, what would happen if I cleaned that blood? What if I was able to clean that blood? Would it then get rid of the illness, or at least some of them? And so I found that by putting together this herbal protocol and doing just that, it was a miracle. It was really a miracle. And I begin to use it for myself, for my wife, and for many people that had asked me for help in various forms or another. And I have a list of things that people said it has helped them with. And there's almost 30 different items that this one herbal combination, that is, I'm sorry, helps with. High blood pressure. It helped people with to some degree with sugar diabetes. I've had people that say it helped them with poor circulation, and on and on and on. I also have an herb that destroys sugar, and needless to say, sugar is one of the basic things that we need to try to stay away from. It is involved in so much of what we eat. And that's a subject that needs to be looked at in and of itself, and apart from many of the other things, because these albicans crave sugar, and sugar comes in many forms. If we look at what we eat nowadays, sugar has about 60 or six more than 60 different names, and none of them are sugar. So you won't see sugar on the package in a lot of times, but the sugar is still inside. It's just not described using the word sugar. I also have an herbal iron for people that has iron poor blood. I have nerve ease, people with nerve problems. For women that suffer with menopause, from menopause, I have menopause relief. Now, these are all herbal, nothing pharmaceutical here. These are protocols that I myself have put together. I have for people that are suffering from acid reflux, I have a treatment for that will help you, and it doesn't take long. Within a few seconds of consuming this, your acid reflux is gone. For women with fibroids, and that's what we begin to talk about at the opening there. Most of the time, a woman who has fibroids or who finds out that she has fibroids is faced with having to remove her womb or having to face surgery, and not knowing that the fibroids can be removed out of her body without the high cost and without the surgery and without the hospital visits and all the things that normally would go along with this. I have a protocol, all herbal, women can use to literally wash the fibroids out of your womb, and it allows you to live, and the fibroids will not return as long as you follow my instructions. I have, for the people that may be suffering from the pandemic, I have what I call the flu buster. The flu buster has been around a long time. As I said before, this pandemic is really a type of flu. And so when I put the flu buster up against the pandemic back down, and it only took 2 days. And I have been blessed to be able to get the results from the pharmacies and the doctors that it does work. And it has worked for people that has used it. No one that has used it has gotten the COVID-19 so far. And everyone that has had it and used the flu buster got over the COVID-19 in a mere 2 days. This is very effective. For people that are suffering from cancer has many different forms. And cancer, for medical science, has been a mystery. But for me, with the help of Jehovah, it has been no mystery. I have looked at all of the ways that doctors deal with cancers that I can find, and there are many of them. They may not want to tell you, but there are cures for cancer, and there are simple cures for cancer. But the one that I find worked the best has been around for almost 100 years, and it works very well. I had a young lady. Her father came to me, and he asked me, he said, my daughter is in a Florida hospital, and she has been diagnosed with brain cancer. Do you have anything that can help me? Well, the first thing I offered him was the 9-day blood wash. Let's get the body of the person or persons cleaned up. That's the first step. And then the second step was we introduced the child to the cancer protocol. The child is now in school, back in school, and the child is playing the piano. And this is not somebody across the waters. This is somebody that I have seen and spoke with and know firsthand what's really going on. Of course, you know, I'm thankful to our Almighty for guiding me in this direction. I take no credit of my own. For those of us who may want to understand or get a better understanding of what Candida albicans is, because many of you may have never heard of it, and when you go to your doctors and you ask them about it, they have limited knowledge and limited understanding of what it really is. If you go on the internet, you will find a lot of information about it there. But much of that information is one-sided, and it's also limited in scope. I have a booklet that I put together to understand not only what Candida is, but how it works and how to defeat it. And so these are some of the things that I've been doing and dealing with. I help people to understand what's making them sick and what to do about it. Some of the people that I have helped are people that I have seen with my own two eyes, and some of them are people I have never seen. and they got help anyway. So if there's anybody in the audience that maybe have questions, or you may be suffering from one illness or another, and you want to call and ask a question, you are more than happy to do so. I will open and begin to take questions at this point.
All right.
Some of the questions. Some of the questions I will kind of be. I have to be honest with you. I'll be hesitant to answer because it will yield information that you may not want talked about in public, and so some of it, of course, will be that type of thing. But where I can give you a generalized answer, then I will do so to the best of my ableness with the help of Almighty.
All right. So we're
okay.
Going to open up the lines, Roy. And this is how we're going to do it. You can state your name, and I will call on you, and then you can ask a brief question so that everybody will be able to ask questions. I think Roy Penn is his name. Now, Roy has a conference line. What days are you going to come on the conference line, Roy?
Well, I'm available just about any time. Just let me know ahead of time, and I'll be more than happy to come on. If someone wants to reach me, I have a website, and I also have information that I can, I can give them my phone number, that kind of thing. And they can reach me that way.
Can you give your phone number? Can you give your phone number now?
Yes. I'll be more than happy to. My cell phone at present is 972. That's 972-849-2747. Once again, that's 972-849-2747.
And your website, what's your website?
The website is wellnessbynaturalmeans.com. That is wellness with two S by natural and then means with an S on it. .com. You can get a lot of information on the website, but you won't be able to make any purchases using the website. It's still under construction.
Okay. All right. So here's what I want you to do. State your name. Wait for me to call on you. Ask a brief question. All right. Who's ready?
Vivian.
All right, Vivian, go ahead.
Lorna.
Ahead,
okay,
Vivian.
I have allergies and I have all this crust in my eyes that I'm dealing with. They got me putting drops in my eyes, but it's not helping.
Okay, so you have allergies.
Yes.
What do you eat on a daily basis?
Well, I'll take this morning. This morning I had oatmeal with raisins and apple.
Okay. Let me ask you, do you eat bread?
No, very seldom. Sometimes I eat bread, but I don't really eat bread.
Do you eat nuts and grains?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you eat rice and potatoes?
Very seldom. I very seldom eat rice and potatoes.
Well, your allergies could be caused by the nuts and grains that you eat. That's one of the things that mold usually is present. And so one has to be careful in eating those items. And mold is the biggest problem with allergies. Many times in the spring of the year, when the trees begin to grow and blossom, we have what we call pollen that comes from the flowering of the trees and the blossom, and we have a rise in allergies at that time. Many times people don't realize that pollen has mold on it, and it's not really the pollen that's causing the problem; it's the mold. So wherever mold is present, you usually will have allergies. What I have done is you can wear a mask over your face, and that filters the air and hopefully helps you to avoid breathing that moldy pollen or dust or whatever it is that's entering in your nostril and causing these allergies. The nuts and grains that we eat, corn, peanuts, and some of the other ones, also have mold. That mold is called aflatoxin. It's a very dangerous kind of mold, and it's a big problem with the food supply. And so when we eat these things, we have allergic reactions because of the mold present on these items or in these foods. So one of the ways in which you can deal with this, at least at home, if you don't want to wear a mask, I have what I call a germicidal lamp that will kill the mold. You can use it in your bathroom or in your house, somewhere where it can't be looked at because it will damage the eye if you stand there and look at it. It's like looking at a welder's torch, but it kills germs. And it will kill the mold, and it will allow you to then breathe at least in your house and maybe have a little peace without having to wear a mask all the time.
Okay, so what about the eyes? The eyes.
Your eye, you're probably getting the wrong kind of eye drop. I have an herbal eye drop that is very effective. Now, I'm not sure what's really going on with your eyes, but obviously you're having some problems there. But most of the time, these problems are really not in the eye. They're coming from our belly. They're coming from our belly. And that's triggered by what we eat or don't eat and so forth and so on, which I was talking about earlier, the food. But I have an eye drop that can help you if you would use it, all herbal, and it's more than likely going to work better than what you're getting from the doctors, which are pharmaceuticals. Most of the pharmaceuticals that the doctors give us, some of them are herbs or some of them are extracts of herbs, and they take them into the laboratory and they take them out of the context in which Jehovah had them. And when they take them out of the context in which Jehovah had them, they break the rule.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Roy. Okay, now, someone else, state your name and brief question.
Lorna?
Go ahead.
Say
I'm listening.
Your name again.
Lorna.
Okay.
And my question is to you, Minister Roy, you were discussing about arthritis. The doctor gave me rheumatoid arthritis diagnosis.
Okay, arthritis sometimes is confused with inflammation. Arthritis is often confused with inflammation. Inflammation usually occurs, once again, it goes back to the food. The number one thing that was giving me arthritis way back when was I was eating and drinking things that were made from the cow's milk. And that was causing my arthritis. I, of course, stopped doing that, and I never had any more problems since. There's another situation that causes this problem, too, and that's eating and drinking from plastic containers. Most likely, the small 16-ounce bottles and the canned food. Most people, we eat canned food, and we don't realize that the can is lined on the inside with a plastic, and the food never touches the can. It never comes in contact with the can itself. It comes in contact with the plastic, and that plastic has two chemicals in it. One is lead. The other one is bisphenol A. Bisphenol A is nasty stuff. Bisphenol A can cause men to grow breasts. It can cause people to develop cancer. It can send the body into producing a lot of mucus and so forth and so on. Sugar, diabetes, and on and on and on. And that is the other area that a person could be getting inflammation that usually occur around the joints. And that's where you feel it the most. But if you remove these things out of your diet, then usually the body will begin to clean itself up, because the body heals itself. No drugs heals the body. The body heals itself. And you will be aiding or helping the body to heal itself or do what it's supposed to do, do what Jehovah designed it or made it to do. So if we remove these poisons or these poisonous materials out of our lives, we find that then, you know, our health begins to return. It does not return in one day, but it as time goes on, it eases and it goes away. In my case, it went away, and it never came back, and I'm thankful.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next question, next person, state your name, question.
Caller, go ahead.
Well, we're waiting for him. Anybody else have any questions? All right.
Yes.
Name?
I do. This is Talana.
What's your name?
This is Talana.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I've had a few people in the past 2 weeks speaking of menopause, and so since I'm growing more mature, it kind of dawned on me, because I haven't experienced it yet, but what that drug that you were talking about menopause, what exactly does it do? Well, not drug, the herbal protocol that you spoke of about menopause. What, can you kind of briefly tell me something about that?
Yeah, you use it, and it eases the menopause, the symptoms of the menopause, because it works once again on the Candida albicans, because the Candida albicans is the underlying factor behind everything that goes wrong in the body.
Okay. Thank you.
You're certainly welcome.
All right. Anybody else? Next question. Next person and the question. Anybody else?
Okay. Let me say, while we're waiting, maybe, you know, somebody else will call. Anybody who wants to get in touch with me one-on-one? And want me?
Right.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
They're all on the line already. They're not calling in. They're already on the line. Just some people. They
okay.
Listen to you almost the whole time, but they may not have any
okay.
questions.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Well, like I was saying, if There'll probably be many people out there who have a specific situation that they may not want to talk about it on the air or openly like this, and they can call me, and I can speak to them one-on-one privately. Of course, as private as the phone lines can be. My phone number is 972-849-2747. That's 972-849-2747. Or they can go on my website, wellnessbynaturalmeans.com, and they can contact me that way. In either event, I'll be able to more than likely shed some light on what's going on with them and be able to talk more honestly and more openly about it and speak to them about their specific situation that they may not want everybody else to hear or know about, be a little bit more private.
All right. Okay, I'm going to ask again, is there anyone else who have any questions? If not,
I would like to ask another question.
I'm sorry, your name?
Lorna.
Okay, go ahead, Lorna.
Dr. Penn, I'm looking at your website, and I'm certainly interested in the 9-day blood wash. Do I need to call you to order that?
Yeah, you can call me at that number that I gave out. And then after we get off the program, and I will tell you exactly how you can get it.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're certainly welcome.
Thank you, Lord. Next.
So this is Sister Annette, and I wanted to know, So if we want to get your booklet and other products that you have, we need to call you. Is that the best way to do it?
Yes, you can call me at that number that
mm-hmm.
I gave out, and
mm-hmm.
I can instruct you on how to get them.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're
Thank
certainly
you.
Welcome.
Anyone else?
I have another question.
State your name.
Talana.
Go ahead. Talana, go ahead.
Sir, yes, you were speaking also something about low blood, or I think it's called anemia. Is there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If you're in a room with many people and everybody's comfortable but you're freezing cold, usually that's a sign of iron poor blood or anemic people. There's a lot of people out there that is anemic, and it stems from having iron poor blood. In a lot of cases, we go to the store and we buy the iron, maybe from Walmart or some of the other stores that's available, and it's usually the wrong kind of iron. It needs to be plant-based iron. And so if you get the plant-based iron, you find that it works very well because it assimilates with the body better than, what they have available in the stores and elsewhere. And when you do this, you find that, the problem begins to disappear or vanish. So what I did was I put together a product that I call herbal iron. Herbal iron means it's plant-based. So it does the job.
Vivian, yes. Vivian, my
Vivian?
Doctor told me
Go
this,
ahead.
Yes, my doctor told me this week that I was iron deficiency, so I need the iron. I was going to go to the store and buy something, but I'm glad that you are on today. Yes, I need the iron.
Okay. My wife was iron poor, and she was using the iron that was the iron supplements that was available, and they were not doing anything for her. And when she began to use the herbal iron, she found out there was a big difference. And so, yes, there's a difference. Many of the vitamins and supplements that are available, even in the health food stores, a lot of times are not what they're telling you that they are. And so one has to be very careful because there's a lot of deception. The Bible tells us the devil is a liar. And so we are being lied to. And many times we don't even realize that we are.
All right. Any more questions? Thank you, Brother Roy. Any more questions? State your name and a brief question. Well, I have a question.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Minister Renato. How are you, Minister Gatlin, and you, sir? I missed most of this due to coming late from a doctor's appointment. But anyways, I really appreciated hearing about the plant-based iron because that's an issue with me. I think it's a lot of the reason many times I feel very, very tired. I get tired real quickly. But the other thing that I was also concerned about, I'm in a wellness program, and when I say that, I'm saying that I'm really, at this point in my life, thank God, focusing more in on my health. And one of the areas that I'm healing from is osteoarthritis. So God has blessed me to have got to reach a point of a great level of improvement where I'm no longer using a cane, but I still have pain and stiffness. And I do physical therapy 2 to 3 times a week. So I was I wanted to ask you what the herbs are some of the remedies that you would recommend for those of us who have symptoms of osteoarthritis. Had both of my knees replaced and my left hip replaced.
Okay, from what I heard you say, I think that the biggest area for you is to have your blood clean. If you do the 9-day blood wash, you would be amazed as to the improvement that would come from just one. You know, and let me say this. That product is not to be used all the time. If you have a lot of underlying issues, you may use it once every 6 months. If you don't have a lot of underlying issues, you may do it once a year or maybe once every 2 years. It is not a product that you would use like you eat food all the time. It's a 9-day protocol that you use for 9 days consecutively, one after another. And after 9 days, you're finished with it. And in a lot of cases, people begin to see results even before the 9 days is over with. In any event, the herbal medicine stay in your body, and it just tapers off over a very long period of time. And so a lot of things that are wrong in the body that needs to be corrected begin to correct themselves because it knocks the candida albicans down on their behind, so to speak. And as long as you don't allow them to get back up, there won't be a problem to you. So, yes, I think that you could probably do best if you begin with by cleaning your blood. You would be amazed what a difference that would make in your life for you. And, of course, the next thing I would say is that you get the food list and begin to look into changing your diet. Now, a lot of people talk about, a lot of doctors and nutritionalists and herbalists talk about changing diets and eating this or eating that or don't eat this. You have to know to let go. And you have to know what to take up. You can't just change your diet any old kind of way because the only thing that will happen is these organisms will readjust themselves and keep on doing business. And so if you know what to let go and what to take on, then you can effectively keep them at bay and live your life for quite a while. You won't live forever, but you'll live for a long time without being sick all the time. So, yes, I think that cleaning the blood would do you more good than anything else. And you can go from there. Whatever remains after that, you can deal with either through your diet or through some type of supplementation.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, Sister Gwen? Sister Gwen?
Uh-huh.
Sister Gwen?
Yeah.
Brother Roy is in Houston. He's in Houston where you are now. So did you get his phone number?
No, I came on late because
okay, let me give it to you. Let me give you his number.
Can you text me, Minister?
I will.
I'm still driving.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you so
I'm
much,
kind of
sir.
Moving
and
along,
thank you, Minister.
Yeah, I'll text
thank
you.
You.
All right.
Thank you so
next
much.
Question.
God bless.
Sure. Thank you. Next question. Next person question. All right. Nobody else has any questions. Well, Brother Roy, you could keep on talking because we got more time. Talking about
okay. Let me shed a little more light on some of the things that stems from these Candida albicans.
Okay.
Usually, when a child is born, these albicans
mm-hmm.
are very present because they can be very helpful in that situation, but they can also be destructive. And what's been happening lately is our children are being born and either with or soon after they develop problems with their nerves and having ADD, attention deficit disorder, or ADHD. And this is a direct consequence of having this yeast present and being transferred. And then we compound the problem by feeding the child food that then, you know, bring this on and make it even worse, especially the sugary and the starchy food. If a person or a child or anybody that has the ADD or ADHD, you will notice crave a lot of junk, a lot of sugary and starchy foods, and you can't seem to stop them from consuming these things. And whenever they do, I like to say, you know, then you have to try to stop them from jumping over the fence because they become hyper and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay.
Men who relationships, whether you are married or otherwise, and you have sexual relations with someone that has either fibroids or a yeast infection, bladder infection, urinary tract infections, because those are caused by the same yeast, then have that yeast transferred to them, and usually it begins to affect their prostate, which is their reproductive organ in the men. It affects their prostate, and then that begins unleash on them a whole new and different set of circumstances. Usually weight gain, poor sleep problem, less interest in sexual activity, and on and on and on. And so it begins to break your body down from the inside, and of course, it's usually fed by the food you eat. So this is one of the areas that, like I said, I try to talk about and explain how all of this is playing itself out in the lives of many people. One of the things that makes what I say and talk about so interesting to most people is because you can see, most of us can see how all of this is playing itself out in our lives, what is happening to us. We can see it after I explain to you what is taking place. And, of course, then we begin to focus on how to correct these problems. So I try to shed as much light on that area specifically as I can.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Anybody thought of any questions you want to ask? All right. Well, Brother Roy, you were touching on, you know, a lot of our children are, you know, having problems with ADHD and ADD and all of those things. What would you say would be a good meal to feed the children? Because a lot of times the kids are on, you know, fast foods. What would you say would be a good, you know, something for them to take or eat or whatever?
Well, it takes when it comes to dealing with a child, it takes a lot of love, you know, and
yes.
How we express that love makes all the difference in the world. You know, most of the time it's difficult to get a child to understand he or she needs to not eat something that they love or something that they crave. And so forth and so on. But if we would talk to them in a loving way and in a caring way and in a truthful way, then they will understand. For example, I had an opportunity to affect the life of I think that the child was 2 years old at the time. And he came around me and my wife. And he had the cold. There was butter in his nose and all this kind of stuff. And of course, I got all upset. I said, "Look, you know, I can't have this. You're going to be a child around me. You can't be sick like this." And so I took it upon myself to help the child. And what yeah. I did was, I told the young man. I said, "Look," and I called him Big Man. You know, first thing I did was I gave him a name that he could. You know, he could identify with and feel good about. I told him, I said, "Big man, you are my friend. And I don't like it when you're sick. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I'm mad at sickness. That's the truth. And mm-hmm. and I don't want you to be sick like this." And, of course, you know, he's feeling bad and all this kind of stuff. And I'm talking to him and he's listening. And so I told him, "Well, what I want to do is I want to knock sickness out. And in order to do that, I need for you to drink this stuff. Now, I know it don't taste, you know, real, real nice, but you're a big man. You're a big boy. You can do this." And so, you yeah. know, by talking to him like this and letting him know that I'm his friend, I'm trying to help him, he then took the drink from me and turned it to his head, and he drank it, every drop of it, and have been doing so ever since. So he when he feels a little bad or something, he wants to know, "Where's Mr. Roy?" He wants to get to Mr. Roy because he knows that Mr. Roy is his friend and Mr. Roy is not going to allow him to be sick.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times when we talk to our children lovingly and caringly, they can understand. Most of the time as parents, we want to exercise parental authority. And that is not mm-hmm. always necessary. But when we talk yeah. lovingly and caring and show a lot of love, the child can understand that. And then we can get that child to eat or drink things that he or she might not eat or drink any other way. I mentioned the food list. The food list is the best way to affect any type of illness. I had a lady that came to me one time. She was the first person that came to me suffering from sickle cell, and she was the last one. I never had anyone since. She asked me, she said, "What do you have that can help me with sickle cell?" And the only thing that she got for me was the food list. She called me back mm-hmm. about a week or two later, and she told me she was doing fine. And so by changing her diet, it caused her sickle cell to correct itself.
Oh,
and that was all that she needs.
What about for lupus? Is lupus the same thing?
Lupus is a form of cancer of the blood. And right now a lot of people are suffering from that and don't realize it. It causes the blood to get thick, and it is hard for the heart to then pump that blood through the blood vessels. And so blood pressure develops. Lupus can cause the toenails to get rotted, and so forth and so on. It can cause the fingernails to also change colors. Lupus can affect the color of your skin, and so forth and so on. So, and it is a form of cancer. And by cleaning the blood, once again, you clean that fungus, which is a form of the Candida albicans. I told you it mutates or recombines and it becomes a fungus, and it then operates in the blood. When you clean that blood, you clean that that lupus or that fungusy blood or whatever, and you get a lot of that stuff out of your blood, and things begin to return back to normal. Usually that's caused by or triggered because we're eating bad. We're eating bad food. We're thinking bad thoughts. We're drinking bad something or something we're doing that's causing these problems, that's feeding these organisms and causing them to behave in this manner. And when we change our behavior for righteousness sake, for correctness sake, then the body begins to heal itself.
Yeah. All right. Any more questions?
This is Sister Annette. So in terms of fibromyalgia, does it somewhat, are there similarities between rheumatoid arthritis and lupus and fibromyalgia?
Usually fibromyalgia, anytime the word myalgia is used, it's to cover up a lie. Doctors have various ways of lying to us without us realizing that we're being lied to. Myalgia is one of the words that they use to cover up a lie. They don't understand what's going on, and so rather than telling you that, they lie to you and say this, it's this or it's that. Another word that's used is syndrome. Syndrome is another buzzword that they use to cover up lying. But anyway, if you're having trouble with myalgia or the group of symptoms that is classified as myalgia, you need not look any further than your diet. Maybe if you use a cell phone, it could be the radiation from the cell phone that's causing that. But it's something dietary that you're doing or not doing that's causing this problem. In order for me to narrow it down, I would have to talk to you more one-on-one about that. And so you can, of course, contact me after we're finished with the program if you choose to do that. And we can talk. I can talk to you more about it one-on-one because I can go into your past. I can go into your present and see what it is that you are doing or not doing that is contributing to these, you know, the candida to behave in this manner. Usually, it's when the candida is attacking your nerves. It comes about sometimes in our hand and in our fingers, and sometimes in other places. But those cell phones that we use can be very dangerous. They can be very dangerous. I had a lady that came to me, and she was suffering from a tumor in one of her breasts, and that was the breast where she put the cell phone in her bra. And then, of course, she developed cancer. That type of cancer is very aggressive, and it's very difficult to deal with. We gave her the same protocol that we gave the young lady, but she dibbled and dabbled. She did a little bit of what we told her to do and a little bit of what other people were telling her to do and ignored much of what we told her. And so the cancer got worse and she ended up dying. But these cell phones, these cell towers, these Wi-Fi routers, these laptops and these iPads and all of these things uses a form of radiation to send a signal over vast distances. And that radiation travels through walls, it travels through your body, and it affects the cells of the body. And, of course, these organisms that live alongside us, they have the last word. And usually they will begin to do things that has never been done before because, of course, you know, we're being exposed to something that we were never exposed to before. And you can't feel this radiation. You can't see it. You can't smell it. None of your senses can tell you that it's there. In order to detect or measure this radiation, you really need what's called a tri-field meter. I have one. And then you can see what's really going on around you. And so it's a silent killer that's present. And if you use a cell phone, it's better that you keep it away from your body at least a few inches. If you are going to sleep and you don't need that cell phone, turn it off. But even turn it off does not stop it from communicating with the cell towers. If you have a Wi-Fi router in your house when you're not using it, it's better that you turn it off. You could have a neighbor next door with one in his or her bedroom, and that could be just a few inches from where you're sleeping. And the signal will go through the wall and then into your body and, of course, cause you to get sick. And you might never know where it's coming from or what's causing it. And so it's a very ticklish situation. But it's one that needs not be ignored, because once this radiation enters into the body, and like I told you, food is everything that enters the body. And so it gets looked at as food. And then, of course, the Candida albicans is going to have the last word about whatever you're doing.
Okay, and I wanted to ask you another question. Thank you. What about water? You mentioned drinking water out of plastic containers. Is distilled water, boiled water? What's the best type of water to drink?
Spring water is the best type of water, but any water can become dangerous if you put it in a plastic container. Because it's not the water that's the problem. It's the container that is the problem. And here is what compounds this problem. And why I tell people to stay away from the 16-ounce and the plastic water bottles that they sell by the cases that everybody, you know, just grab and they open them and drink. And it's a very nasty poison. What makes them so dangerous is that they are usually shipped in a truck, placed in a warehouse where it gets hot and cold and hot and cold, and that heating is what causes the bacillus A to come out of the plastic and then get into the water that you're going to drink. And then you drink it, and you throw the plastic away, but you got the bacillus A that was in the plastic that leached into the water. Sometimes you can taste that water, it doesn't even taste right, you know. So that is the problem. What I would recommend that you do is kind of like, and I can make this comparison. It's like voting for Trump or Biden. You know, you have to choose the better of the two, whichever one is you think is the better. So I would buy my water in plastic containers, but in the gallon bottles. Because the gallon bottles are handled differently. And when you take them home, don't leave them in your car where they can get hot. And don't put them in a place in the house like on the top shelf or, you know, any of the shelves, because heat rises. And if you put them up high, that heat is going to rise and then it's going to heat them up. And the bacillus is going to leach out of the plastic and into the water. And so if you keep them in a cool place, then more than likely you'll be able to avoid most of the bacillus A that can then leach out of the plastic and get into the water. If you're going to take water with you to drink, I suggest you get a container that is either glass or stainless steel. Don't get the plastic containers because then you're exposing yourself to the same problem all over again. So hopefully that can help you a little bit.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Any other questions?
My name is Zadie Alford, and I have a question concerning the fibromyalgia. Every time I talk on the phone, quite a period of time, holding the phone to my ear, I get this terrible, terrible hurting in my ear. And I've gone to the doctor, and I told the doctor that's what it is, because I've tested myself by staying on the speaker, and it would go away after a time, and it wouldn't come back. But do you think that have anything to do with that?
Of course, and I mean, you have the answer to the question right there. You know, I have a family member when he's in a vehicle. And anyone in the vehicle has a cell phone, his nose starts bleeding. And when he has people riding in the vehicle with him, he usually asks them to turn their cell phones off. You don't have that problem if they do, but it's far more serious than you might think. Just because you don't develop nosebleed or something like that doesn't mean that it's not affecting your body. And it's usually quiet and subtle. And so it goes on, and you never really know.
Thank you. They thought I was kind of crazy.
Anybody else?
Say that again, Zadie.
No, I told the doctor thank you, because the doctors thought I was talking, you know, kind of being kind of crazy. For saying that, you know, because they just don't believe it, you know.
Well, the one thing you have to consider when it comes to trained medical doctors is that, you know, just that they were trained. If you ever been rode on a train or see how trains operate, someone has to lay a track and direct that train where to go. If that train does not have a track that someone else laid, it can't go there. And so the training means that someone else decided for that doctor how he or she is going to operate. And when it comes to cell phone radiation, that is outside of their training. When it comes to supplementation, that is out of their training. When it comes to Candida albicans and how they behave and how they operate, that is outside of their training. So there's a lot of things that the doctors just did not have when they were trained. And so they were basically trained on some of the things that they do, and they do these things well. You know, I give them credit for what they do and what they do well. But they are shorted because many of them do not go outside of their training. They stay within that and within the confines of that, and they never venture outside. Myself, I'm able to look at what doctors do. I'm able to look at what scientists do. I'm able to look at what herbalists do. I'm able to look at a wide variety of things. That doesn't mean I know everything, but at least it gives me a broader scope, you know, from which to look at the problem. And I can tell you that many of the doctors are ignorant when it comes to what's really happening. Some of the scientists know what's going on, but they're not telling anybody. They're using that information to benefit themselves. So, I mean, I don't go into this side of things too much, because it's the conspiratorial side of things. But many people believe that there are conspiracies that are going on, and certainly, you know, I'm one of them.
Anybody else?
Yes, this is Sister Lady. I wanted to ask, do you have a list of suggested normal foods that we should invest in, we should have in our homes, just some foods, a list of foods to embrace and a list of foods to avoid? Is there anywhere on your website that can be downloaded?
Not at the website. And that's a very good question you're asking, because I get asked that a lot. You know, of course, I tell people all the time that, you know, what you're eating is usually what's causing these problems. The doctors is not causing you to get sick necessarily. You're making yourself sick. You just don't know how you're doing it. So I get asked, well, you tell me not to eat this, you tell me not to eat that. Well, what am I going to eat? And it makes me realize that people have a short list of things that they eat all the time. You know, usually it's the same things over and over and over and over. And when they can't eat those things, because those things are what the Candida albicans is craving or forcing them to get. And when they can't get that, they get the idea in their minds that, well, there's nothing more for me to eat. But guess what? There is a long list of things to eat. So I focus more on what to eat than what not to eat. You know, our feet is pointed forward. You know, when the great creator made us, he turned our feet forward. And we have to think forward-looking and forward-thinking and not look back. The Bible warns us and gives us warnings about looking back. So I focus on moving us forward. So I made up a list of foods that are safe to eat. That's a long list, because when it comes to what to eat, we could be here all day.
But
if you have that list in your hand, then you can always refer back to it. If you're not sure what you want to eat today, you can refer back to the list. You know, something that you can have with you all the time. But it would answer the question of what to eat without having to spend hours and hours and hours on end, you know, talking about, you know, what not to eat.
If you were to narrow it down to at least three things that you really need to have in your diet and three things that you must not have in your diet, can you name three of each?
Yeah, I would say bread is the number one thing. Wheat is for sure the most dangerous in my view. If we eliminate just that one thing out of our diet, we would see a big improvement. Of course, you know, it wouldn't be an improvement that would be sustained over you know, a lifetime, unless of course you don't go back. But it would be something that would take place within a short period of time. You begin to see maybe even your weight. If you have weight gain, you might begin to lose weight. Many of the symptoms that you might be having, say with diabetes or some of the other sugar-related illnesses, would begin to subside. So yes, that's one of the food that you can let go that will do. Produce the greatest benefit. Another thing is that when you go to the grocery store, much of the foods in the grocery store, even the fruits and veggies, have been handled and prepared in such a way that they become problematic. But one of the things that you can buy and still safely use at the grocery store would be those little small red potatoes. If you want to have French fries or you want to make mashed potatoes, then you could buy those. Those are safe to eat. All the other potatoes are dangerous. Gosh, my mind's a blank. But most of those things are starchy, and when we eat them, they turn to a sugar inside of the body, and then that sugar, of course, feeds the Candida albicans, causes illnesses. So if we let those things go, or we omit them out of our diet, then things begin to improve. So hopefully I've shed some light on that.
Yes, sir. You said bread and rice you should avoid, and red potatoes you can embrace.
Yeah, there is a rice that can be eaten, that is safe. Many people may have never even heard of it. It's called black rice. You can go on Amazon and you can find it. It's usually produced by the Indians, the American Indians. They still grow it. It's grown in Minnesota and in southern Canada. That is safe for its diabetic friendly, and so forth and so on. So yes, there is a lot of food that is available. The green leafy vegetables, when juiced, can be very helpful. But a lot of times, and I know that here in the U.S. we've had many reports of salmonella and other outbreaks that comes from the veggies and the things that are grown. And because Candida albicans is something that really never die, it produces a problem. What they have been doing is taking wastewater, and they've been processing that wastewater and declaring it to be safe. Then they use it to water these veggies and these different things that they grow. And, of course, the Candida albicans comes back, because they never really die. And so when that happens, we have these outbreaks. People's body can't tolerate this introduction and these changes. And so we've had a lot of outbreaks, and you'll hear about more and more of them until this practice is ceased.
I have another question.
Zadie, is that
go
you?
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Well, the question is, what do you think about boiling water?
Boiling water is good, but once again, after you boil it, you can't store it for very long because the germs begin to grow back. You cannot kill all of them. There's going to be some part of them that remains. That's a complicated science to go into right now over the airways, but usually the germs begin to grow back. Now, one of the things that can be done is there are water filters, and then there are germicidal lamps that can help to keep those germs from growing back so soon. But then, you know, that takes us into another whole area. But boiling the water is good as long as you're going to use it within a relatively short period of time, because it's not going to stay safe for too long. Because usually you kill what is called the good bacteria along with the bad. And the bad ones, you can't kill them off entirely. They're going to grow back. And then the water is still going to become, unsafe. So hopefully that sheds some light on that.
Thanks.
Yeah. Any more questions? All right, Brother Roy, we're going to be closing out very soon. But we want to thank you. Anybody want to say anything to Brother Roy before we go off, thanking him for whatever? And then I'm going to ask Sister Annette to give us a closing prayer. We're going to be closing out. Anybody?
Yes, I just want to thank you for the opportunity.
Talana, you got to state your name.
Yes, okay. All righty. This is Talana. Thank you, Doctor, for the opportunity to share with us. It was so informative, and I concur with the things you said. I've heard them, and you just re-elaborated on them, and I just thank you. Thank your wife for allowing you to share with us and your family. Thank you, Sister G, for having him to share this with us. You could have kept this to yourself, but as the kingdom says, we're blessed to be a blessing. And myself, I can say that this was a blessing to me and probably to others as well. Thank you.
You're certainly welcome. Anybody else, state your name.
This is Lady. I want to apologize for getting on late. I had a ministry to handle, and I got on about 12:30, and I'm sorry I missed the first 30 minutes, but I'll be prayerful to do some investigation, go into your website. Thank you so much for having us today.
Yes, sir. You're certainly welcome. All praises due to Jehovah.
This is Sister Annette, and I wanted to thank you for coming on today. And, you know, the scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, and then they reject it. So I'm so thankful for the information, and my prayer is that I be a doer and not just a hearer. And so thank you so much for sharing the natural things that God has given us to help us have a better quality of life and an abundant life. Thank you so much. And thank you, Sister G, for all that you do. And again, you are a great blessing as well, sir. Thank you so much, and God bless.
And thank you. And all praises due to Jehovah.
Sister Amen. Flynn, Sister Flynn from Houston, you have anything you want to share?
You said you're talking to me?
No, I was saying Gwen, Minister Gwen, she's on. Anybody else have anything you want to share? State your name and say it. Well, I thank you. Roy Chen is his name. I thank God for him coming on. I'm going to give his phone number again and his website so you can write it down. But I am so grateful that I got to meet him, not in person. I don't know him personally, but I heard him speak on another line, a conference line for dealing with people's health. And I thought, oh, my God, I got to have him come on. So, you know, we've been dealing with, Roy, we've been dealing with nutrition, and even we've been talking about those things that, you know, we use, bring in our house that's poisonous to us, all of those pesticides and things that's causing us problems. And we've also talked about, you know, nutrients that we need for our body instead of, you know, the bad stuff. So you are right on time. I thank God for you. I'm going to give you all his number again. I sent out a text to, you know, for people to get their pads and papers ready so that they could take notes. And so we had probably about 16 people on here over a period of time, Roy. So right now his number is 1-972-849-2747. 972-849-2747. Now his website is wellnessbynaturalmeans.com. Wellnessbynaturalmeans.com. So I thank God for each of you. I already know I love you, and you know God loves you even more. And Sister Ned is going to give us a closing prayer. But I just want to thank you all for coming on and being patient and listening, you know, tuning in, because that takes a lot of time to come on to be able to, you know, hear. So I appreciate you all very much. I love you. And Sister Nett, before I close out, anybody got one more thing they want to say quickly? All right. Go ahead, Sister Nett.
Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we love and praise, we bless and honor you today, Lord God. We magnify your name. And, Lord, we thank you for what you've done today. And, God, we thank you that eye have not seen, ear have not heard, nor has it entered into our hearts what you have in store for those who love you. And so, Lord God, we thank you today. We thank you for the speaker, Lord God, Dr. Roy. We thank you for all that you're doing in his life. Lord God, we pray that you continue to richly bless him. Father, your desire is that he prosper, be in good health, even as his soul prosper. And we pray that he would prosper in all of his endeavors, God, even as he has stated and acknowledged how much information and wisdom and revelation you've given him. And God, we just thank you for witty inventions, and Father, that you bless him abundantly, Lord God, and even the blessings, of Deuteronomy 28 would be his portion. And so, Lord God, we thank you for Sister G, God, and all of her efforts, all of her endeavors, God. We pray the same blessing upon her. And, God, we pray for each and every person on the line that your will be done in our lives. Oh, God, help us to be doers and not just hearers of your word, God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, bless us that we would be prosperous and that we would have the abundant life. And as Dr. Roy said, that food is a great mechanism that it will improve our quality of life. And so, God, we say, let us decrease, you increase. And, Father, let your will be done in our lives, that you be glorified even the more. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you. I'll talk to you all next
time. All right. Glory to God.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Glory in the name of Jesus.
Bye-bye. 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 Thank you, Lord. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. What a great Father you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.